This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Every positive attribute attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah guides, none will be able to misguide. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever has been misguided, none will be able to guide. Before I proceed, two quick points. The first one, the Imam has brought up to my attention to share with you. May Allah bless those behind this masjid, from the administration, from the Imams. May Allah honor every one of them. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So they're bringing up the point of the gentleman outside who's protesting, in case you did witness that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. But if you do witness the guy protesting, the Imam was advising that, make sure, just a reminder, Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Just take this advice as a, you know, as a brotherly advice, sisterly advice, being respectful towards them, not cursing, not being vulgar, being as respectful as possible, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a reminder to all of us, may Allah increase us in our wisdom. Ameen Rabbil Alameen, the hikmah which Allah gives it to whoever He wants. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, actually in the introduction, it says, the second point, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. Whoever has been misguided, none will be able to guide. I may not exaggerate if I were to say almost every single one of you heard that so many times. And whoever has been misguided, none will be able to guide. And I don't think I would exaggerate if I were to say, and I've tried it in different places, except that many people did not really understand it, but just went with the flow. What does it mean, and whoever has been misguided, none will be able to guide? So is that a message of hopelessness? Did Allah forcefully make this guy or this girl never be guided? Why am I raising this right now? So much of the crisis that we go through as a ummah, as a whole, is the lack of understanding towards this religion. This is one of the biggest disasters. Everybody has his own thinking, shyness from asking, and when we are shy to ask, no matter how old we are, I know people who are in the 20s and 30s, been Muslim their whole life, but never knew, do they have to wipe from the top or the bottom whenever they make wudu? Don't procrastinate asking. Don't let your shyness take over. Ask with respect. Ask with respect. What does it mean, and whoever has been misguided now will be able to guide? This is just one example of many things you hear in the khutbah. Go, bismillah, explore, what does it mean? But when you come and ask with respect, not with arrogance, well, that doesn't make sense with what you said. Come ask, is this the real meaning to it? Is there another way of looking at it? And appreciate that. I'll give you one point, inshallah, about this one. We learn in our deen that whoever insists and is arrogant towards Allah and insist on being disobedient after a chance, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 15, a million chance, Allah takes them further. Allah will not guide them. Allah says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا, when they willingly chose. After the message came clearly, so many opportunities came to them. They decided to divert. They decided to go. Then Allah says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا, أزاغ الله قلوبهم, when they are their hearts deviated, Allah will took them even further. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الْعَبْدَ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعَاصِي. Did you ever question it between you and yourself, or had a discussion about, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like those who disobey Him, why would Allah continue to bestow His blessings upon them? What's the response to that? If Allah does not like those who are transgressing, those who are oppressive, why does Allah continue to bestow His blessings upon them? The Prophet tells you, if you see Allah bestowing His blessings upon someone who is consistent with disobeying Allah, فَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ إِسْتِدْرَاجٌ, then this is just a plan, a plot against them. How is that possible? What's your Nabi Muhammad SAW trying to explain? I'm going to give you an example. Maybe it can slightly relate, but don't go into extreme with it. You know, at some houses, they would have a mouse in the house. And the owner of the house tries their best not to harm that mouse. They open the door, leave, making noise. knock, anything. Open the door for 5-10 minutes. Let the mouse leave the house. It's not leaving. It's insisting, it's stubborn. Leave, it's not listening. What to the most part many landlords would do? They would actually start bringing food. Peanut butter, cheese, to the mouse. Didn't you want it to leave? Weren't you upset at their behavior? That's true. But I'm not bestowing these items and that food because I love the mouse, because they are placed on a mouse trap. So when the mouse starts licking that peanut butter or that cheese, etc., the mouse believes and is convinced that, see, there's no such thing as the landlord being upset at me. The landlord loves exactly what I'm doing. And if there was a landlord to even begin with, then why am I still enjoying this life? But as they're licking that rat trap or mouse trap, what happens? All of a sudden, it slams them, crushes them, destroys them. May Allah protect us. So your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if you see Allah bestowing his blessings upon those who are consistent with disobeying him, don't think this is nothing but istidra, just a pull. May Allah protect us. Like, for example, Qarun. Qarun, he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِ. Qarun says, you see all that wealth? You see all these mansions? I got it from my own sweat, from my own knowledge. He did not attribute these blessings to Allah. What happened to him? Allah gives him and gives him and gives him. What happened to him? Allah says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We destroyed him. We made that whole earth swallow his mansions and him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the things we have to appreciate is when we look at the world around us, we try to understand how is Allah's methodology in this world? How do things operate? We know, first of all, Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. We got that down. Alhamdulillah. We know that there's this life and there's this afterlife. Excellent. What is this life all about? Don't be too creative. It's a test. Done. Period. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. To test you. Who's the best amongst you? What about Akhirah? It's the payday. أُجُورَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That's where you get your graduation. You go to Jannah or otherwise. May Allah make you all the people of Jannah. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. So, okay. So I understand now this life is a test. Akhirah is my graduation. If I pass, fail. But can I ask you a question? What does Allah put to the test? Like, what does He test me? Like, with what? My intelligence, my physical strength. What does He test me with? He tests your faith and your character. When Sulaiman alayhi salam saw Allah giving or passing through the throne through one of Sulaiman's soldiers, Sulaiman saw the throne of the Queen of Sheba right in front of him. What did he say? هذا من فضل ربي. This is from the blessing of my Lord. ليبلوني. To test me. أشكر أم أكفر. Whether I'll be grateful or not. He recognized that there's tests to test his gratitude. How are you doing, brothers and sisters, when Allah tests you through blessings? Are you being grateful? May Allah make us all amongst the grateful ones. He realized that. I pray to Allah that next time you're blessed with anything, a promotion in your job, a beautiful car, a great spouse, great child, whatever the case may be, you know what you do? Like your Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. He looked at the blessing. He said, this blessing is a test. أَشْكُرْ أَمْ أَكْفُرْ. To be grateful or not. Next time you get a scholarship, لِيَبْلُوَكْ. أَتَشْكُرْ أَمْ تَكْفُرْ. This is how you were supposed to see Allah's tests. What does Allah test as well? Allah tests our patience. لِعَلْمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. The patient amongst us. What does He test? الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Those who are truthful. Allah puts your akhlaq, your faith to the test. May Allah make you all pass every test that you face. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And these tests, if you want to divide it to two, it's through hardship, which you're required to be patient, and a test of blessing, which you're required to be grateful. I might be wrong, but I believe most of us here, especially in this part of the world, are tested far more through blessings than hardship. I might be wrong, but we are tested way more through blessings than hardship. May Allah make us grateful. Count the number of times you were in so much pain for how hungry you were. Just count. How many days, the past 10, 15, whatever your lifespan is, how many days you were in so much pain for how hungry you were? And count the number of days you were in pain for how much you ate. Isn't it insane? Wallahi, it's on the verge of insanity that our struggle is to minimize our food consumption. That's our struggle, to finish that cheesecake or not. Wallahi, it is, subhanAllah, may Allah make us grateful. This is our struggle. Well, I don't want to eat all that calories because it's not good for my health. That's our struggle. May Allah protect us. So when you see things going around and of this sort and that sort, just be focused that this life is a test. May Allah make us pass it. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. And Allah puts people in our lives that are part of that test. Allah says that we made each one of you a fitna to one another. Then Allah says, Atasbirun, would you be patient? The rich is a fitna to the poor. To the poor will say, Allah gave him. Are you going to say, why not me? And the poor is a fitna to the rich. How? Will the rich give from their wealth? The healthy is a fitna to the sick. The sick, the one will see the one running and jumping and doing all that stuff. Will you be patient? The sick is a fitna to the healthy. Will you use your legs and your wealth and your intelligence to do that which is disobedient to Allah? May Allah make us grateful. May Allah make us patient. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So in the midst of the news that is happening these days, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and feel free to say ameen, it's up to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would to grant us a salah in al-Masjid al-Aqsa, an acceptable prayer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a masjid in which the Prophet told us that the hearts of the believers should be attached to. So with complete bluntness, if our heart is not feeling any sense of sadness towards it, it's a sign of lack of iman. We may not be able to say that to many masajid, but for this one, we can say that because your Nabi Muhammad said so. He said, "Tushaddir rihal," the hearts are to be attached, inclined to visit three masajid: Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem. May Allah allow you to pray in all three masajid and accept the salawat, Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So with this being said, if we were to focus more on the hardship aspect, what are some things that we can do to cope with that? What are some steps, practical, not theory, that we can do? We'll mention that inshallah in the second khutbah. I say whatever I have said, and the first step towards coping with hardship and blessings is by seeking Allah's forgiveness. So in these few seconds that we sit here, we've went through so many khutbahs in our lives, but we should not zone out in these few seconds. Wallahi, a moment of genuine astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, conceal me right now. May erase all of your shortcomings. I say whatever I have said, and I seek Allah to forgive me and forgive you. So seek Allah's forgiveness. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that we need to appreciate and be well versed with is understanding, as we said in the first khutbah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates this world to an extent, to how to view things. The Prophet says in his beautiful hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, amazing is the state of the believer. Everything that happens to the believer is good. I want you to please focus as much as you can. The word believer is going to be repeated many times. One more time. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, amazing is the state of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ, everything that happens to the believer is good. وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, and this concept of everything is good is only applicable to the believer. We cannot say everything will be just fine to just anybody in the world. No, that's not true. Everything will be just great, everything is khayr, everything will be just fine for the true believer. The Prophet says, وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Then he says, إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ صَرَّاءَ, if a blessing befalls that believer, and they are grateful, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And if a hardship falls upon that believer and they are patient, and that is خَيْرٌ, that is good as well. But how in the world is that good? How in the world a hardship that we face is good for us? Wallahi, it is. Wallahi it is, wallahi it is. Because your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. If we pick an example from history, my mother and your mother, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was accused, her modesty was being accused that she did this and she did that, may Allah protect us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us her innocence in Surah An-Nur. When the people said, oh, a young girl and a young guy all alone in the desert, Abdullah ibn Abi Salul said that. He says, wallahi ma salima minha wa ma salimat min. Such a filthy statement. He said, a young guy, young girl, alone in the desert, surely something happened. La ilaha illallah. She had to go through that. In the hadith of Bukhari, she cried so much there were no more tears. May Allah protect you and not make you face that level of pain. But that was what she went through, the wife of Rasulullah sallam, the mother of the believers. But then Allah reveals verses. The verse we want to focus on is where Allah says, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. O Aisha, O Rasulullah, O believers, don't think that accusation is bad for you. Excuse me? Being accused for over a month all around Medina that I committed such and such major sin, this rumor is not bad for me? Allah says, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. No, it's not. You didn't get the message? Then Allah emphasized, بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is good for you. How in the world is it good for me? Now we know. Now we know. Brothers and sisters, if the only benefit that came out how our mother was accused is to show the whole world the status of Aisha in the sight of Allah, that's enough of a benefit. That you read Surah An-Nur and every time, like, this is my mother, Aisha, Allah honoring her. If that's the only benefit from the story, that she's being honored by Allah, wallahi, that's enough of a benefit. If the only benefit that came out of this incident, this accusation, this disaster, is to let the whole world know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not write the Quran by himself. He did not make it up. Because for those who do not know, the revelation about the innocence of Aisha came about a month after the accusation. So if he writes the Quran his own and makes it up, he would have done something from day one. No. Minute one. The second it was spread. But to show the whole world, Allah is the one who reveals the Quran. If the only benefit, brothers and sisters, that came out of this accusation is to expose the hypocrites, that's enough of a benefit. But the point and the obstacle is that many times I and you will face hardships in our lives and you may die without seeing the wisdom behind it. How far can you see? Is this wall right here? You have no clue what's behind that wall. But a believer is content, is patient, and believes in Allah's wisdom. So long as you're patient, wallahi, it's khair. When you have a father, a parent, who would say $20 for you, for one of his children, $10 for the other children. Why did you do 10, 20 and 10? He's like, well, because the one who I gave $10, you know, doesn't really, you know, hold their finances pretty good. So you relate wisdom to yourself on who to give and who not to give and how much and how much take. Why do we not do that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When he lets someone goes through that and the other one goes through that. Why we relate wisdom to ourselves but not to Allah, the all-wise al-hakim. All these things to truly appreciate. I got an email one time from one of the sisters a few years ago where she was writing up an email and she was saying along the lines of, brother, there's this guy I really like, I really love, and I've been making dua to Allah every single day to marry this brother. For how long? For approximately the past 7 years. But brother, today I want to commit suicide. La ilaha illallah, why? Because this guy who I was making dua to Allah to make it happen ended up getting married or engaged to someone else. So what do you say about that? This is so sad. Didn't you just make dua to Allah? Yes, okay, then you asked Allah to give you what is best for you. And the best thing for you is not to have this guy. It's as simple as that. Whenever we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Allah to give you what is best for you. Where is our patience? Where is our accepting to whatever Allah has willed for us? And subhanAllah, Allah is my witness. I made a video on this on YouTube before. The same sister, Allah is my witness. She sends in the email, Then she said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, it didn't work out. Why now Alhamdulillah didn't work out? It had to make sense to you? She said, this guy was found cheating on his fiancée and he was found drinking alcohol. We should not wait for things to make sense to us for us to be content and patient with whatever Allah has willed. We should not be like this one guy who was waiting for the bus to come at 12 p.m. But the bus came at 11:58. The bus left. The guy is angry. The guy is kicking the bus stop arena. He kicks it. He's like, why did you do this to me? On the verge of kufr. And this person complains, I have a job interview. Why you do this to me? The next bus comes, 12:15. He rides into the bus. I'll be late for the interview. Oh, and there's traffic as well. Why? Then an ambulance, fire truck. And he's like, oh, that traffic. I'm never going to make it to the interview. Driving further. Guess what they see? The first bus they missed flipped. He's like, oh, alhamdulillah, I didn't get on that first bus. May Allah protect us. Wallahi, many people behave like that. We will die. And there's many things in your life that happen and you will not make sense of it. I promise you. That boy, Al-Khidr, killed by the command of Allah, boy has no clue what happened. The parents have no clue why their child died. No clue. Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will know. And they'll be like, alhamdulillah. When Al-Khidr came, and he drilled a hole into a boat of people that respected him. And some say they didn't even charge him to come over the boat. He drilled the hole. They have no clue what happened. Why this happened? But if they knew Khidr did it, they might have flipped on him. But the Yom Al-Qiyamah, they'll be like, alhamdulillah, it drilled and we're drowning. Alhamdulillah. But we will never make sense out of things. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes us patient. But brother, before you end the khutbah, you keep saying the word patient. And the English language, that's a very passive term. Patience meaning you're quiet on the corner. No, that's an English issue, it's not an Arabic issue. When you say sabr, when you talk about perseverance, sabr is of three elements. Is when you hold your heart in a state that is not hopelessness. And your tongue from not complaining about Allah. And from your limbs, from not disobeying Allah, then you are within the realm of being sabr or patient. Once again, sabr is for your heart not to be hopeless. From your tongue not to complain about Allah. And from your limbs not to be in action of disobedience to Allah. Anything other than that, you're a patient person. You want to go protest respectfully? Go for it. You want to go voice your complaints respectfully? Go for it. But just don't cross the boundaries with your tongue, with your limbs, and with your heart. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, to shower His mercy upon every single one in this masjid, upon all the believing men and women around the world. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Nas'al Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, an yarhamakum bi rahmatihi allati wasi'at kulla shay. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses the masjid, and the people behind this masjid, and everybody behind the scenes that maybe none of you know their name. May Allah honor them. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make every one of us in this masjid steadfast upon the deen. And I pray to Allah to make our last words in our lives, La ilaha illallah. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wadud, an yatawaddada ilayna. Allah the All-Loving, to have our hearts attached to Him, for our hearts to love those whom He loves, and to our hearts to love the actions that lead us to His love. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to pray in the Masjid Al-Aqsa, and we see it in the most peaceful state possible. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, and yaj'alana ma'a Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the highest levels in Jannah, fi a'la 'illiyin, fil firdaws al-a'la. Ameen rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allahu khaira. Wa aqim as-salam.